Leaders are all around us at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Megan Henderson, Executive Director of Waco's Downtown Development Corporation. Hosting the conversation is Liz Taylor, Director of the Waco Convention Center, Waco and the Heart of Texas. This program was recorded July 1st, 2014 at the KWBU studio.
Welcome to KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, and I'm talking today with Megan Henderson, Executive Director of the Waco Downtown Development Corporation. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you.
It's so great to have you here. I want to start by getting to know you a little bit better. So tell everyone about yourself and, what your aspirations in life were about and how you ended up here.
Well, I grew up in Hillsboro, just down the road. I was a bookish kid. Okay. I can remember vacations we'd go skiing and I would ski ahead and sit down on the snow and read until the rest of the family caught up with me. I had a very active imagination.
I believe that.
But not, you know, I was never a popular or socially adept kid.
Oh.
And the physical world is not my friend. gravity and space and, you know, things
like. You understand
like,
the definition of clumsy, right?
things like roller skates and softball were not positive parts of my childhood. I tend to be about ideas and opinions and those kinds of things. When I went to college at UT Austin, I started out a theater major. I loved theater, was really involved in that in high school, but really kind of ran into, is this really something that's a practical rest of my life kind of thing?
Yeah, because I'm going to have to use my feet and be able to walk around.
Well, actually, you know, and paradoxically enough, in that context, you know, I could run up and down set pieces in 4-inch heels and do all kinds of, you know, it may be as much about feeling comfortable in your own skin. Mm-hmm. And I could do that in a theater kind of environment.
That's fair.
Maybe partly because I was pretending not to be in my own skin at all,
okay.
But someone else's. But when I went to Texas, to UT, I was double majoring in theater and Plan 2. And Plan 2 is kind of its own little major. It's a school within a school, okay. Kind of thing. Broad-based liberal arts degree. With the notion that the bumper sticker said, I don't have a major, but I plan to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the notion being that you do a little bit of everything and then go on to specialize in, you know, whatever you're going to actually do. So I was theater in Plan 2. I took a philosophy course and switched my major to philosophy.
Okay.
Again, you know, abstract ideas and all of those things. And somewhere in that course of study, and it was still in, you know, I went on to major in philosophy, but it was still that freshman year philosophy class that was, you know, taught by a brilliant guy, relatively small class, lots of discussion. You know, Western philosophy struck me as being a lot about, with all apologies to brilliant people, dead white guys with beards arguing about things that didn't have a lot of practical application. And a lot of Eastern philosophy struck me as sort of how do I live a moral life in what's essentially a broken world?
Gotcha.
And going on, you know, that was something that stuck with me. What is the practical application of all of these ideas and ideals?
Okay.
And so, you know, years later when it was time to get a job.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And,
translates,
you know,
to.
Right. And I have a philosophy degree and a Plan 2 degree, which qualifies me to have lots of opinions. You know, my friends and colleagues, lots of them were, you know, from the big business school, and mm-hmm. they were going to work for Cisco Systems and consulting firms and investment right. banks. And I just had this panic, like, I'm going to be overeducated and underemployed, and I am the worst waitress you've ever seen in your life. Seriously. Seriously,
again,
it's memorable.
Again, we're back to the clumsy.
Yeah, thing. The physical yeah. world and I yeah. were not friends. So I started looking around, and I went to this information session for the Texas Main Street program.
Okay.
The Texas Historical Commission, you know, being right there in town, would periodically host sessions where they'd try to get you know, soon to
anybody.
Graduate kids interested
anybody
in.
I know I've been through
exactly yeah. in this career, and what struck me about it, being me, was that you would get to do lots of different kinds of things and you wouldn't necessarily have to figure out what one thing you wanted to do forever at the okay. exclusion of all else.
That's kind of an understatement, but okay,
right. Yeah. And so the other thing that happened in that session, growing up in Hillsboro, my dad was on the city council and was mayor pro tem and was on the first Main Street board. Hillsboro was one of the pilot cities in Texas.
Yes.
And their first Main Street manager, I remember, was a lady named Paula Peters. I remember
Paula
going
Peters.
To her house
yes.
and having ice cream when I was mm-hmm. probably 8 or 9.
Oh, really?
And she was smart and she was single and she did cool stuff and she had an impactful life. Yeah, that's probably more complicated than I was thinking at 8 or 9. But she made an impression on me. And so I raised my hand in this session and said, "What, you know, do you know this person and what are they doing?" And the lady's eyes lit up and she talked about Paula Peters and the cool things that she had gone on to do in her professional life,
mm-hmm.
Including being the executive director of the Parks Foundation.
Right.
And I just thought that's cool
yeah.
and impactful and interesting. And so I, you know, gave my resume to Main Street. I was contacted by a few cities, wound up going to Marlin.
Yes.
Because my impression was that most small towns would have issues of one kind or another, and it was basically kind of the same. You
yes.
know, you just pick one.
Mm-hmm.
And Marlin was conveniently close to Hillsboro, but not
right.
too close, and close to the friends that I still had in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And an area that I was kind of familiar with.
Yeah.
And so I went to Marlin and was there for 4 years. And Marlin struggles with a lot of things.
Still.
They still struggle with a lot of things. But I had the most wonderful time there.
Good. Because you get to know the community. In a Main Street program, you do. It's imperative you get to know the community. And that seems to work well with your personality. So
I really like to be involved. There are no opinions that I only half hold.
I
am 110.
You
know, I go to 11 or I go to 0, and those are basically the two settings that I have. And you know, the thing about Marlin is that lots of small communities. Don't accept people from the outside very readily. Marlin really embraced me. And when I say Marlin embraced me, I mean, you know, folks who were the country club set, folks who were on the other side of the tracks, pastors of various different churches, business folks. I just had this rich, involved experience there and enjoyed it so much and felt like what we were doing was significant.
You sure. know, and part of that is because they completely bought into the Main Street program experience-wise. And that is, that's something in my experience with Main Street that can be improved upon depending on who their Main Street manager is, or it can be, you know, tamped down and filtered depending on who their Main Street manager is. So getting someone with your personality, I think, was really good for them and good for Marlin. And from what I've seen, you will have an impact on them for years to come, but you may not realize it. And that's something I think that we do a lot in what we both do, is that we have – the ability to impact things that we may not see it all the way to fruition, but someone will.
I certainly hope that's true. We had a lot of fun when I was there. I was the sixth person in my position in 6 years. So it was,
that's right.
There had been
that's
a lot
right.
of transition. And in the 4 years that I was with the program, there's a lot that the community did that I'm really proud of during
that time. That's great. For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series, and I'm Liz Taylor, and I'm talking with Megan Henderson, who is the executive director of the Waco Downtown Development Corporation. And we're kind of visiting Megan's history here, and we're gonna get on through it, and then we're gonna get into some other topics. So keep on. You're
sure.
in Marlin.
Sure. So after working with Marlin in their Main Street program and doing Main Street and economic development for 4 years. And for folks that aren't familiar with Main Street, I just want to yeah. mention quickly that it's basically downtown development with a lot of emphasis on historic preservation and the architecture that makes downtowns unique, and also on small business development.
And it's about communities doing it themselves.
Right.
From the inside out. It's not about somebody coming in and fixing it. It's about communities finding out how and understanding how to do it themselves.
That's right.
Yeah. And they just need somebody to guide them.
Right.
Yeah.
So at the conclusion of that 4 years, we had 75 volunteers with 5-year work plans and very specific programs of work that they were going through meant to build towards a common purpose. And that's what Main Street is about. It's about distributing that agency
yeah.
so that it's not, you know, one person behind a door who's supposed to be the expert and get it all done. It's really broadly shared among people who are experts about their own communities or their own businesses or whatever it is. So after Marlin, I went to Rosebud. I was the city manager of Rosebud.
Mm-hmm.
I was there also for about 4 years. And really was excited about, you know, Marlin has had some struggles with infrastructure.
Yes.
And so I was really excited to be able to be in a position that would allow me to work underground, where I had come to believe a healthy community has got to start.
Right.
You know, those water and sewer systems that people want to install and then forget about really are the making and breaking of a stable, healthy community.
That's right.
And I wanted to focus on that. We did focus on that. We did the first capital improvements program that Rosebud had, a number of other things that were fun. And while I was there, I got my master's in public administration and a certification that I really think is important, the certified public manager credential.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very hands-on and practical.
Yes, it is.
So I spent a lot of time in the Metroplex with city managers and members of city management teams talking about the different ways that they fund capital improvements, manage human resources, do community strategic planning and those kinds of issues. Had a great time doing that and had a great time in Rosebud. After Rosebud, I went to work for the Heart of Texas Council of Governments.
And that's where I really got to know who you are.
Right, which brought me and my family to Waco. My husband, Troy, works for Texas Parks and Wildlife out of the Waco regional office.
Nice.
And before that had worked commercial construction primarily. And he'd been working in Waco for our entire married life. But when we were both working here in town and were getting our kids into preschool and all of that, we moved to Waco in, what would that be, I guess 2009.
Okay. That's great. That's great. Go ahead. Keep on going. You're good. This is about you, so keep on going.
At Hot Cog, I was director of regional services, and I really love Hot Cog. It's an organization that works to strengthen communities
mm-hmm.
By being their kind of shared back office staff.
Right.
You know, a community like Rosebud, which is population 1,493, you don't have a separate economic development person.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly don't have an environmental person. The things that Hot Cog offers mm-hmm. to the communities and counties in the region, it among other things, you know, so it's got staff in all of these different technical subject matter areas, from solid waste to air quality to law enforcement, emergency preparedness, all these different areas. And they're administering programs, you know, lots of which are giving grant dollars out to the region to accomplish those kinds of tasks. But the ghost in the machine that I think is so cool about HOTCOG is that they then have an expert that is available if that community has a problem or an issue that's unforeseen. They don't have to wonder. They can call someone who's a subject matter expert that knows that community in Sure. this region and can help them work through that issue. So I worked with all of the programs that I just mentioned, but was the lead staff person for community and economic development as well. And, you know, again, I think the Heart of Texas Economic Development District, which convenes economic developers from around the six counties and works to advance the region's economic interests, is another really important part of that work. And I was excited to be part of that, too.
That's great. Well, you've certainly had a I'm not going to say really varied, because it's all been most of it's been focused in community development. And now you are you still have a relationship with HOTCOG,
mm-hmm.
right? But then you're also the downtown development director for downtown development corporation director, I guess is what it is, DDC?
Yes.
Right? Yes. Yeah. So tell us about the DDC.
Well, I was not looking for another job. I was really happy doing what I was doing. But when I became aware that the Downtown Development Corporation had formed and was looking for someone, you know, my first thought was it would be almost unfair for me to go and pursue that job, because it's almost cheating to kind of walk on to the game at the most exciting time, mm-hmm. you know, and be past the ball from people that have been doing this for a really long time.
But someone has to pick it up and see things through to fruition.
I didn't really think about applying for the job until I began to think about what I could offer to it that would be the maybe in my mind the unique experience that I had, you know, something that I could really offer that I thought would add value.
Mm-hmm.
And me having an idea of that really developed as I was thinking, in particular to the way the riverfront development that we all hoped would happen would impact and have the opportunity to really ripple out to other neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So, for example, Elm Street, Elm Avenue,
right,
reminded me so much of Marlin.
Yeah.
In terms of constituencies where folks had
socioeconomic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and where folks hadn't seen a lot of investment in a while,
mm-hmm.
You know, and the question is, how do we get value out of this? You know, how does this still feel like our place when so many of the big engines that are impacting and changing life are not our engines?
Are not us. Yeah.
And yeah. I've seen, you know, I've worked with communities and, you know, loved and cried with communities, that when a development opportunity has happened, they've not responded in a helpful way.
Right.
You know, and a lot of that has to do with trust.
Trust and experience.
And exactly. Education and understanding mm-hmm. of the process so that folks can feel like, you know, so that folks can have an impact when it's an appropriate time to have an impact and not just come in at the end and oppose and possibly kill a deal. That's a lose-lose.
Right. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about the DDC itself, just a little bit, because we got a couple more things we want to do, and we don't have a lot more time left. For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, and I'm here today talking with Megan Henderson, who is Executive Director of the Waco Downtown Development Corporation. And it's just fascinating to hear your background and how you came to where you are now. But I know that probably there are a couple of things I want you to continue talking about. Where the DDC is going and what's happening in downtown. But I also want you to inject in that, if you can, and I know you can, a little bit about leadership and maybe some of the people who influenced you or the people who are influencing you now as leaders, the people who can, because what we want out of this, one of the things we want out of this series is we want people to look around and realize who the mentors are in the community, in the area, and how we all get there with the help from leaders.
Sure.
Okay. I think I threw you off.
No, I'm thinking about, because of course that's a huge important other topic as well. So the Downtown Development Corporation has three essential functions. We have sort of inherited the custodianship of the Imagine Waco plan,
mm-hmm.
That was handed to us by all of the organizations that committed it or that commissioned it, and carrying that plan forward from a snapshot in time to being a conversation with the community that continues to be relevant, that replaces original goals, many of whom have been fulfilled,
mm-hmm.
And many of whom may be relevant in different ways. I mean, at that time, there was no stadium. So much has changed,
right,
that we have to be able to succeed with additional conversations so that it continues to be on topic. The second goal that we have, or the second main function, is to be a cheerleader for other organizations that are working in the space of downtown, you know, most of whom, all of whom, have been working in that space longer than we have.
Mm-hmm.
We're a small organization by design, so that instead of trying to be all things to all people or take over functions that other organizations are doing well, we are rather a convener and a facilitator and a champion,
mm-hmm.
For the work that other organizations are doing.
And for building collaborations.
Exactly. Yeah. And then finally, of course, our specific niche is really real estate development,
mm-hmm.
To sort of boldly go where markets aren't going yet, not only in the Central Business District, but in the many other business districts that are part of the greater downtown area. Greater downtown stretches from LaSalle, so we're sitting mm-hmm. right now in downtown, greater downtown,
right.
LaSalle, Business 77, Herring to 18th Street. So this big, the donut hole of
mm-hmm.
Waco,
mm-hmm.
Including many different business districts with their own personalities and characters that need to be heard and developed, and can, when mature, form this constellation of different areas, each of which is sought after for
right.
what it uniquely provides to the community.
Exactly.
So the example would be, one example would be 15th and Colcord,
mm-hmm.
where there's this emerging sort of international world
yes.
culture kind of area with
and
World
then,
Cup Cafe mm-hmm. and the Fair Trade Market and D's Mediterranean and North Waco Tropical Fish. You know, there's...
And they're seeking stability. They're mm-hmm. wanting people to recognize that area is valid.
Yes. Well, and they rightly recognize that they have a special niche personality.
That's right.
That people will seek, you know, and so there are other businesses and there are other types of development that would obviously complement that are the basis of creating a little cluster that then is attractive in its own right. It has its own sort of center of gravity that other people seek. And that's true along 25th Street. That's true in several other places. We're working to foster it along Elm Avenue. So that's kind of the how things play out in space. It's definitely the big riverfront development project, but it's also smaller development and smaller catalyst projects throughout that greater downtown footprint. You know, I look at talking about catalyzing development along Elm Avenue. Someone asked me whether Lula Jane's, you mm-hmm. know, has proven to people that that's possible. And I said, not a chance, because there's nobody that looks at Nancy Grayson and says, oh, well, if she can do it, I can do it.
Right.
Because
you knew she was going to do it.
Right. Right. And when you talk about leadership, I think that one example is certainly Nancy
mm-hmm.
With the vision, but also the implementation.
Yes.
You know, you often have vision people. You often have implementers. You do not often have the person that will have the big idea and then get on the tractor.
That's right.
You know, and so, you know, I laugh at Nancy as being an inspiration. Of course, she's an inspiration. But you don't necessarily look at Nancy and go, oh, yeah, I could do what she does.
Right, right. And, I mean, first of all, who has that much energy?
Yeah.
Maybe you.
Yeah.
But but most people don't. Yeah. And most people aren't willing to commit that kind of energy.
Yeah.
And that's what it, that's so much of what it is. It's about commitment.
Yeah. 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 Two more people that I would look at in Waco's life that are both vision and implementation people are Larry Groth and Jim Vaughn. Mm-hmm. Two people with very different ideas about Waco and different areas of influence, mm-hmm. But who left really outsized influential marks on this community for the better. When I think about, I really literally have on my phone among my photos a picture of Larry Groth's slide on undesignated fund balance.
Undesignated fund balance.
Because coming from where I come from, mm-hmm. having the fiscal soundness and strength to go out and pursue excellence, whether that be having an excellent zoo or a river walk or to be in a position to seek new development, you have to have – those things are cantilevered out over the abyss.
That's right.
By the strength of the core of fiscal stability.
Absolutely.
And Waco is in better fiscal shape than any other city that I know of with as progressive and expansive a goal for itself that is in the middle of fulfilling.
Absolutely.
Waco won me back as a resident and as a willing worker – because it is really excellent. I grew up in this area. I went to four proms at that Hilton.
That makes me proud.
I went to four proms at that Hilton.
Oh, okay.
I when I was learning to drive, drive up and down Valley Mills, I did not expect to ever come back here.
Oh, wow.
Mostly because I had the typical teenager's contempt for the familiar.
Yeah. I grew up there.
Right. All I want to do is go far, far away and stay there. But as I began to understand the business of running a city, mm-hmm. I was really amazed by how well Waco was run.
Yeah.
Given all of the things that we deal with, it's really hard to do a city right unless you just have a lot of high income folks and a high tax base.
If you can throw money at it, which is what so many communities believe needs to happen, but that's not what Waco has done.
No, Waco has done it the hard way.
And Waco does because Waco didn't have the money like that to throw at things. But also because we had a conventional philosophy from our leadership, mm-hmm. and you've already mentioned who some of those folks are, from our leadership that said, you don't have to just throw money at it. You have to throw practical application and effort, and it has to be everybody has to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've done.
Absolutely. And then Jim Vaughn.
We've done. That's what we've done.
Yes,
I get to be a part of that.
That's right. And then Jim Vaughn came to town with this outsized vision of what we could aspire to.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of having a $1 billion decade, the idea of having 100,000 people living and working in greater downtown. Those things probably sounded ridiculous. And look, we're going to deliver on that $1 billion decade. And I don't doubt that 100,000 people will be able to live and work downtown if the Imagine Waco plan continues to be realized as assiduously as all of the partners continue to work to make it happen.
Well, I think it will, and I'm excited to be a part of it. And I know that I'm very excited that you're a part of this. I thank you for what you do for the city.
My pleasure. I've had fun talking with you, Liz, today and always. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. And this is KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series, and I'm Liz Taylor. And I've been talking with Megan Henderson, and thank you so very much.
Thank you.
This program was recorded July 1st, 2014 at the KWBU studio.